They had street cred, they names might be D-Nice and C-Money, but since they don't, and since they just pasty ghostly white folk, here Derek Knight and Colin Burton, the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
That's right, we are the pastiest of the whiteies. I'm Derek Knight from sonofcheese.com. With me, as always, is everybody's favorite Caucasian,
Colin Burton!
That's right, from fizzleandpop.com. Colin, how's it going?
It's going great, how are you?
Ah, good. How do you like your shout?
My shout?
Oh, it's... Your shout.
It's okay.
You're like a real personality now. You're like a real, actual, no kidding, no fooling around radio type guy without a radio station to work at, because you've got your own...
Derek Knight!
Shout, just like I got.
Yeah.
Aren't those cool?
Those are awesome.
I mean, of course, the trained ear would be able to tell that we did those ourselves.
But of course.
But still, you know, that's how they're made. That's how they're made in real life. So why can't we just, you know, make them like that?
Yeah, I must say, though, while making them, it was really odd shouting my own name. I'm not...
Wasn't it? It's a little strange. Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's just something you'd have to get used to. Well, I guess it's not something you'd have to get used to. You only had to do it like... Well, that's the problem. My name just rolls off the tongue. But Derek Knight, but Colin Burton was a little tough to get everybody in sync on. And
yeah.
Even, you know, even though it didn't turn out like I'd wanted it...
Colin Burton!
That was the best of the, like, 20 takes we did with your name.
Yeah, fun times.
Mine?
Derek Knight!
First take.
Good for you.
Is that fair? No. Is that the way things are? Yeah.
Right. Well,
yep.
Maybe I should develop a stage name of some sort that rolls better.
No, I think by now, Colin Burton pretty much is you. You are Colin Burton. And besides, that kid in Australia got killed and let you have it pretty much exclusively.
No, it was a guy in Boston or something like that.
Oh, that's right, Boston. Well, I'm sure there's a Colin Burton somewhere in Australia.
I'm sure there are.
So we'll have to make sure that he goes away, too.
You said it, I didn't. I have nothing to do with it.
So I'm personally just back from my Las Vegas vacation, and yeah, it was pretty freaking hot. It did hit record high temperatures while we were there, well in excess of 120 degrees. And if you've never actually been in 120 degree heat, then you're a better person for it, because it's the kind of heat that'll just bake you if you are stupid enough to be caught outside of doors. It's just really an ungodly heat. So hot that transformers are popping and power's going out. But right before we left, as you probably well know, my dad was diagnosed with a pretty serious infection in his foot, and that meant that we had to push his ass around in a wheelchair for the entire time. I mean, we had already planned on not flying because, you know, just with his comfort in mind and my mom's inability apparently to pack light, we figured the way to go was to rent a minivan, and my parents, with their thousands and thousands of rewards points, which they've amassed on their credit card, they said, well, why don't we just use the points to rent the car? And that's one of those ideas where you're like, wow, that's going to be great. That's going to be easy. And then you actually delve into the twisted web of reward points redemption, and you realize it's not as easy as it seems. In fact, there's like four rental car companies that accept these reward points for service.
Right.
And there is only one, and that's Avis. Avis is the only one that allows you to rent anything other than just a car. The others will allow you to rent a car for 5 days. Nothing more, nothing less. You can't rent an SUV, you can't rent a minivan, you can't rent any premium vehicle, you can't rent a convertible, just a car. Avis will allow you to rent anything except for their super premium, but they don't give you a week's worth voucher. They give you cash equivalent vouchers. And so we were able to afford $500 worth of these cash equivalent vouchers. Now, have you ever rented a car, Colin?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you ever get around to going on real vacations, you'll probably find that Avis is one of those car rental companies that you just don't even check. They're so ungodly expensive. I can only imagine the only reason people rent from them are if they have a voucher or if somebody else is paying, like they're part of a company that has a deal with Avis, or they're the government and the government has a deal with Avis. That's the only reason you'd rent from Avis. Like, you know, case in point, if you go to Alamo, goalamo.com, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm not getting paid. I'm just saying that as a comparison, if you kids out there want to do this, go to goalamo.com, look up anywhere in the country that you could rent a car, wherever. Just look up 5 days on a compact car. And then go to Avis and do the exact same dates, same location, same car, And you'll be shocked at how much more Avis wants you to pay to rent the exact same car for the exact same period of time from the exact same location, pretty much. You're looking at like almost double. So what it turned out for the days that we needed the minivan, because we had to have some sort of vehicle like that, something that would seat, you know, they say is a 7-seater, and so that'll seat 4 pretty comfortably with right. luggage. And so we needed a minivan, and it was over $600 to rent this minivan, rental, no insurance, no, you know, nothing like that. And so as it turned out, the vouchers covered all but about $137 of that. So $137 to rent a big vehicle for about a week, not bad. $637, not good. Never would I rent from Avis unless I were getting part of that for free, which we did in this case.
Did you check the ashtray to see if they had, like, mints in it or something?
You'd think that the cars would be able to do specific unnatural acts, but no. In fact, the car wasn't even clean.
Oh, my God. Not even clean?
No, there was still trash in it. There were pistachios in the carpet, and there was trash in the doors, and I was a little and the luggage rack was
broken. How the hell do they stay in business?
You know, again, it's got to be people that aren't
business contracts
paying.
And stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that's the only thing I can think of. But we were given the choice of 3 minivans when we went to pick up. The one was a Chevy Uplander, which is essentially a Saturn Relay. There's really no difference between the two vehicles. The other one was the Toyota Sienna and then the Dodge Grand Caravan. And the guy said, which one do you want? And my mom said, whichever one's the biggest. He said, okay, Grand Caravan. What would your choice have been?
In your situation, probably the same thing.
The Grand Caravan turned out to be the absolute best blind choice possible because it had the stow-and-go.
Right.
You seen them commercials with the stow-and-go?
Yeah.
Well, they're all true. The seat folds down out of sight when if the seat's up, you've got all this undercarriage storage. Now, that does make the van ride a little bit like a lowrider, but you've got a tremendous amount of storage space. And it's especially having to tote the wheelchair around, the large depression in the back of the actual cargo area in the back of the van was extremely handy. So it turned out to be the best possible vehicle for a road trip like that, considering that my dad had problems with his foot, had to keep his foot up. We were able to sit him in the way back, then he could put his foot up on the cooler, and, you know, he's relatively comfortable, as comfortable as you can be on a 12-hour road trip.
Right.
The rest of us were comfortable, and, you know, we had enough storage room for all the luggage, and nobody was cramped, and it was really as comfortable as you can be on a 12-hour, 120-degree car drive through Utah. That's all I can say. Once you get out of Colorado, actually, once you get across the mountains and onto the western slope, the temperature this time of year is pretty much around 105.
Right.
And it just keeps climbing as you get closer to Las Vegas. I mean, by the time we hit Green River, Utah, which from Colorado Springs, Colorado to Las Vegas, Nevada, Green River, Utah is the halfway point, it was already 110 in Green River.
Well, I do know that there's no way I could take a trip like that at this time of year in that kind of heat because I'd just die.
You just can't handle that sort of thing?
I either die or want to die. I cannot stand heat. Not that
well. Well, we had the air conditioning cranked the whole way, which is another, really, you know, the car performed admirably considering we were pretty much stressing it out to its limits. We were averaging about 80, 85 miles an hour. We had the air conditioning cranked the whole way. We were loaded down probably about as much as you could be loaded down, and it performed great. As a matter of fact, it got tremendous gas mileage. We were able to get to Las Vegas on only one fill-up.
How much?
We started full, and we filled up in Green River, and we made it all the way.
Wow. How much did it cost to fill that thing?
Well, you know, that's the thing. It does. The reason you did that, because it has a larger gas tank than, like, say, my truck does. It's got, like, a 22-gallon gas tank.
Right.
So it was getting right around 22 to 24 miles to the gallon on the highway, and I'm not good at math. What's right around $3.09, and I think when we filled up, it took about 20.6 gallons.
Wow.
So what is that? What's the math on that?
I'm not sure. Like,
over $60,
yeah,
I think.
Over 60, yeah.
So it was a significant amount to fill up, but still, it got good gas mileage considering all of the factors, and it got us where we needed to go.
That's good.
And speaking of getting where we were going, we did end up getting to Las Vegas right around 7:30 Pacific time. We had got on the road exactly when I'd hoped we would, right around 7 o'clock Mountain time. And since you gain an hour, it's a 12-hour drive, but there's stops. You know, you got to stop and eat. You got to stop and utilize restroom facilities every now and then. Not everybody has the iron bladder o' steel. So it got us into town right around 7:30. And ironically enough, one of the guys that we play softball with and one of the guys that we played poker with, although he's been conveniently busy every time I've had a poker tournament, he was going to be in Vegas the same time we were. So the first night I hooked up with him and we played in a poker tournament at Sam's Town, which is the hotel that we were staying at. Not him. He was staying out at Monte Carlo. So he took a taxi all the way to Sam's Town and played in a poker tournament with me, and that was actually kind of fun. But before the tournament, we ate at a Mexican food restaurant. So kids, if you're ever in Las Vegas and you see a sign for Willie and Jose's Cantina that says authentic Mexican food, Zagat Award winner, don't believe it. Don't eat there, because the food is absolute horseshit.
Wow.
I can't imagine what kind of Zagat Award they must have won. I don't know if Zagat just gives out awards for, you know, like disease-free for 30 days, but that's the only conceivable Zagat award they could have, unless they bought it. It was just horrible. You know, it's like the beans were like old El Paso type from the can.
Right.
It was just, ugh. It was not a good way to
was it worse?
Start the trip.
Was it worse than the place that Jeannie took us?
Well, nothing really can be much worse. I mean, El Tesoro is bad.
Right.
El Tesoro was anti-food. At least this stuff tasted like something.
Right. But it.
So they're on par, but El Tesoro still gets my vote for worst ever.
Okay. Just trying to.
Now that we've cleared that up.
Just trying to get that straight in my head. So
you know exactly. Kind of. You have an idea of how bad the food
right.
was. And for you kids out there who don't have an idea how bad it was bad. Really fucking bad.
Okay. How does it compare to that place that's near Rudy's that we went to that one time?
The one on Nevada?
Yeah.
I thought that place was all right.
Did you? I thought you didn't like it.
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, clamoring to go back, but I didn't think it was horrible. Oh, wait, you mean the one south of Rudy's?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that place was crap. Yeah. That's pretty much how Willie and Jose's Cantina is.
Yeah.
I guess what they're hoping is that you'll get all kinds of margaritas in you and you won't realize how bad the food is. joke's on them. We weren't drinking. Maybe the joke was on us.
Yeah, maybe.
The next day, though, I redeemed myself, I guess, by suggesting a much better restaurant. We had lunch at the Burger Bar, a place that I had eaten at already before, although my parents, of course, had never eaten there. Yeah, that's the place where I get the $45 hamburger. It's Kobe beef cooked rare with foie gras and blue cheese. And, man, that's good. It's a damn good burger. I mean, obviously something that would probably make you cringe.
I could not eat raw hamburger. There's just no way.
Dude, it's Kobe beef. It's not hamburger. It's not like ground chuck. This is Kobe beef. All right? This is the
made
top
from
quality. Yes,
made from Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. No, it's the best quality beef you can buy, and there's only one way to eat that kind of beef, and that is rare. That's it. There's really no other option.
We've covered this.
We have. And I still say you are wrong, because it was a excellent, excellent burger. Of course, they have sweet potato fries there, which I also immensely enjoy. And as if that weren't enough, that later that night we were going to go see Penn and Teller, so we needed to get some dinner somewhere close to the Strip so we could make it to the Rio on time to pick up the tickets. And so we met up with Andy, the Bison's wife, Andrea, who's still out in Las Vegas because their house hasn't sold yet. And we had dinner with her at an actual authentic Mexican restaurant called Diego at MGM Grand. Now, how do you like Mexican food, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You like guacamole pretty well?
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't like it in large doses, but...
Really? Because, well, this place does tableside guacamole. They make it fresh right in front of you. I'll bet you'd like that.
Yeah, probably.
My mom liked it immensely. In fact, she said she could just take a spoon and eat that, and that would be good for her. Which I thought was a little over the top, but it was good. It is good guacamole, and the food there is just phenomenal. It kicked Willie and Jose's ass, but that's not hard. But it is one of the better Mexican restaurants I've ever eaten at. Their desserts could use a little work, in my opinion, but you don't really go to a Mexican restaurant to get dessert. I mean, it's not like the traditional fried ice cream crap that you get at, like, Chi-Chi's, but, you know, it's real high-end, like, crepas with the goat's milk caramel and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That the tres leches cake, which I should have tried. I got the crepas instead, and I knew that I shouldn't because I got them the last time, and they were way too sweet, and they were way too sweet this time. So I guess that's just me being stupid.
Yeah, I guess you just don't learn.
No, I didn't, but I had the tacos al carbón there, and they were very good. Mm. Very good.
You're making me hungry.
Come out with actual little corn tortillas. Not like, you know, not like crispy corn tortillas, but actually like, you know, how if you order fajitas at like Dos Hombres, they bring out the little thing of flour tortillas.
Right.
They brought me out a little thing of corn tortillas for my tacos al carbón. It was excellent.
Well, good.
Yeah, and then, of course, later we went and saw Penn & Teller. It was my third time seeing Penn & Teller, but they have so much material they rotate through. It was still, half of it was stuff I had never seen before.
Cool.
But for this show, we were actually front row center. I'd got the tickets a few months in advance and was lucky enough to get pretty much, I guess I was the first one to buy tickets because we were seats 3, 4, 5, and 6 in section AA, which meant we were literally center of the stage in front row. And I think I expected because I had seen it before, I expected the tricks to not look very good up close, but the crazy thing was they looked better.
Really?
They've got their stuff so down, they're so refined that it looked much better up close. There's only one trick that I saw the move on, but it was because I was looking for it, because I knew how it was done. And other than that, even the ones where I figured I knew how they were done, they'd still fool you. And very fun. Teller did the needles trick, which I don't know if you're probably not too familiar with much magic, are you?
No, not really.
Well, Houdini apparently did a trick, and he borrowed it from shaman in Egypt to do this type of trick where you swallow 5 needles and a thread, and it comes back and regurgitated up threaded.
Mm-hmm.
Teller does it with 100 needles, and he did that trick, and they come out in an apple. And then to prove that he swallowed it after... I'm getting instant messaged on Skype. That's rare. After he swallows the needles, and then he has a member of the audience check his mouth to make sure they're not in there, he takes a few bites from the apple and swallows it, kind of saying, see, I've swallowed the needles. And then he threw the apple at me. He just quickly pointed at me and tossed the apple at me. And I was like, Jesus. And quick catch. I mean, lucky for the person behind me that I'm quick. But that was, it was all gooey. It was gross.
Yeah, Teller so, spit on it.
Yeah, he did. He tossed me a souvenir, and I left it in my cup holder. But I did make a specific T-shirt just for this event. And you know what this shirt is because I showed it to you.
Right.
And it stems from something that happened last August. Penn Jillette, who's one half of Penn & Teller, is an atheist. He makes no secret about it. He's very vocal about his atheism and this and that. And he's got a lot of fans, you know, because of that. I'm not a fan of him because he's an atheist. I'm a fan of him because he's, you know, entertaining. But apparently in August, he had a girl show up to the show wearing a T-shirt that says, "Lesbian Atheist, Penn Thinks I'm Hot." And he talked about this on his radio show and posted pictures, as radio show is, of course, long gone now. But it was going strong then, and he talked about it, and he made mention, he said, you know, you don't have to be a lesbian atheist to enjoy the show. Christians come to the show all the time, and they have a good time. And it was almost like, you know, yeah, you can come to the show, he'll tolerate you. So my shirt says, "Hardcore straight Christian, Penn will tolerate me as long as I spend $82.50 to see him juggle and shit." And the only reason I had that shirt made was so I could wear it and show it to him after the live show. And mostly because... What the hell's going on?
I don't know. What the hell are you doing?
Can you hear the little bleep bloop?
Yeah, I was hearing bloops.
Yeah. I'm getting hit up with instant messages on Skype from some guy in Brazil who I did a stupid podcast with one time that was really lousy, and I did, never mind. Yeah. Anyway.
Look at you doing podcasts with other people.
I know. It was a one-time thing, Colin. It meant nothing.
Okay.
Anyway, because my dad was in the wheelchair, and because we had to wait for him to get, you know, up and everybody to clear out and get him in the wheelchair and push him out, the first stop in the lobby is always Teller because he's closest to the auditorium. And I wanted to ask Teller where he got his shoes, of all things, because his shoes were phenomenal. I was actually looking for a pair of shoes just like that for the outfit that I wore to Cameron and Nicole's wedding, black with red inserts in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were custom-made for him, so I can't get my own pair unless I pay insane amounts of money, which I'm not going to do. But right. By that time...
That's reserved for goalie helmets.
That's right. Exactly. I'm only going to pay that kind of money if it's something that protects my brain. But, no, by the time we got around to Penn Jillette, I was just about the last person in the auditorium. So, you know, I kind of had his undivided attention, and I showed him the shirt, and he cracked up laughing. And you know, the thing is, it's very well known that he doesn't really give the time of day to guys. You know, if you're a girl, he'll take pictures with you, he'll give you the big hugs and stuff, but you know, he doesn't want to have anything to do with guys. And he didn't want to have anything to do with me really the last time. But after I showed him the shirt, I'll post the pictures on Friday. He genuinely was laughing at it. And then he asked me after we took the picture, he said, "So am I doing a good enough job of tolerating you?" And, you know, sometimes sometimes I'm extremely witty and sometimes I'm just a retard. And I know I didn't say anything witty when I should have. I should have just, yes, I feel it here and here. No, I think I said, yeah, it's great. Good show. And I walked off. I'm just a retard.
Yeah, you should have said, "You're doing much better than the people at work."
Again, see, you know, these things you think of after the fact. It's
right.
At the time, I'm like, "Hey, so,
you're my hero." And
that's right. And then so I blew that a little bit. But but it did serve its purpose. I wasn't, you know, I didn't puss out and not show it to him. He did laugh, and we did get the picture taken. So those will be posted on my blog, setofcheese.com, come Friday.
Okay.
Now, any questions up to this point? Because I've really kind of been monopolizing the time.
For me? No, not really. I mean...
No questions for you?
No. I think I've been able to squeeze in whatever questions I have, so...
All right.
Are you going to mention the big news at all, or is that just kind of...
The big news?
Yeah, the big news.
The big news. We'll see. We'll see if we have time at the end of this podcast.
Shh. Okay.
Because there's still more Vegas. There's still more Vegas to get to.
Of course there is.
The next day we went and saw Mack King, who is a comedy magician who does a matinee show in the afternoon at Harrah's. We'd all seen him before, but, you know, like my dad said, you know, you just watch him all day because he's so good. He makes you laugh, and the tricks actually fool you. It was a great show. And then later on that night, we were splitting up the girls. My wife and my mother and my wife's sister were going to go see Mamma Mia at Mandalay Bay, which is, of course, a musical based on the music of ABBA. And are you an ABBA fan, Colin?
I like ABBA.
You know, well, the first time I heard about this, I was thinking, how the fuck could anybody think to do this? How can you take ABBA's music and make a play the music? But then I saw the play, because tickets were bought for us. It was kind of the prerequisite. I was never going to see it unless somebody else paid. Well, somebody else paid.
Right.
And I was impressed. It was a fun show. I really liked it. And my mom hadn't seen it, and so, like I said, the girls went to see Mamma Mia, and my dad had seen the Amazing Jonathan special on Comedy Central. And so he really wanted to see the Amazing Jonathan. And Aldi, my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, had never seen him, even though he lives in Vegas. He's lived in Vegas since 91. He doesn't see any of the shows.
So. Right.
He doesn't gamble. Yeah, he drinks good.
We don't ski, so.
That's right. That's true. We live in Colorado and we don't ski, so it's kind of the same principle. So we went to see Amazing Jonathan. It was the second time I'd seen The Amazing Jonathan. And again, the show is phenomenal. This is the kind of, his show is the kind of thing I wish I could do on stage. It's just that good.
See, I've never even heard of him.
You have never heard of The Amazing Jonathan?
I have never heard of him.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's got a... He does have a Comedy Central special that's kind of floating around. Check your local listings and see if you can't pick it, because I think you'd like it. I really think you'd like The Amazing Jonathan. I enjoy it, and I really think you would, too. I know there's some things we don't see eye to eye on, but I'm pretty sure you would like this.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the next...
I was going to say I'll have to check into that. Yeah.
So after The Amazing Jonathan, the next day was July 4th, and I had actually started to feel a little sick the day before, and I was really trying to fight it, you know, because it was vacation. I wanted to have a good time, and I wanted to eat, but I was so bad off. I could barely eat, and I could barely walk around, and I ended up being sick on the 4th of July, which we spent over at Aldi and Shannon's house anyway, so I slept on their couch for a good portion of the day, which apparently was what I needed. I guess I was either dehydrated, exhausted, or a combination of both.
Yeah, probably the heat was getting to you, I'd bet.
Yeah, it was, like I said, record highs, well over 120 degrees, and you try to stay inside as much as you can, but you got to go someplace at some point. But I think it was all really just a change in routine and, you know, just not drinking enough water, because at home I've got big jugs of water that I just keep around so I can drink, but, you know, when you're on the road, you can only drink so much because you don't want to, you know, stop and pee, blah, blah, blah. But, I think I was just dehydrated and exhausted, slept away most of the 4th of July, and that put me back on track, so to speak, because the next day, Thursday, I had my appetite back, which was perfect because we ate at the Hash House A-Go-Go, which is there's three of them now. There used to be only two, one in San Diego and one in Las Vegas. But if, and I know we have at least one listener in the Kansas City metro area, they just opened up a hash house in Kansas City. Sean, look it up. Go eat there. You'll be amazed. The portions, Colin, are huge.
Really?
So big, in fact. I mean, no words can explain how, I mean, the plates, just the plates that they serve the meals on are three times the size of a normal dinner plate.
I saw a picture of the pancakes.
The pancake is huge. It'll feed four people. It could feed the entire starving African nation, this pancake. But yeah, so we ate at Hash House. Finally, my appetite was back right in time for me and myself to gorge myself. Me to gorge myself at Hash House. Then later that night, we ate at Austin's, which was going to be the big steakhouse dinner. And sadly, I was disappointed. I mean, not in the appointments. Lavish, just very beautiful inside the restaurant. The service was phenomenal, top-notch. All the side dishes were top-notch. Everybody else's steak was top-notch. Mine was a little overdone. And I didn't like this. There's only a small selection on the menu that was prime, dry-aged, 48 days. The rest was not. And I really want, if I'm going to a really high-end steakhouse, I want everything to be dry-aged 48 days. Just
even the waitresses.
That's right, sons of bitches. So sadly, I was slightly disappointed in Austin's, but all things considered, it could have been worse. I mean, we had a good vacation, pushed my dad around a little bit, but you learn a lot. When you're pushing around a wheelchair, in Las Vegas especially, where 90% of the people are just not paying attention to where they're going, you really gain an appreciation for people who truly are handicapped and have to spend their life in a wheelchair. I mean, my dad could get up and walk short distances. So, he wasn't completely wheelchair bound, but it really, puts in perspective people that, they don't, that can't, and the challenges that they face when they just want to go on vacation and gamble and drink and smoke.
Right.
Yeah. So enough about my vacation. You plan to rule the web now, don't you?
Well, I don't know about planning to rule the web, but getting a lot out of the book, yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you tell the kids what that means?
Oh, look at you, not letting me be prepared or anything. Well, basically, hang on a second. You'll have to edit this out. Uh-huh.
You always clam up when I'm fixing to take a drink.
Well, like I said, you'll have to edit it. Deal with it. Oh, wait, that's right. You don't like to edit if you don't have to, do you? Well,
I will. I'll edit it.
Okay. Right.
Christ, you bought a book. What's it called?
It's called Rule the Web.
Rule
the Web. And it's written by Mark, and I never know how to say his name, Frauenfelder, I guess.
Frauenfelder?
He's the founder of BoingBoing.net and BoingBoing Zine. And it's a pretty thick book, and it covers all kinds of things that you can do on the internet.
And it's pretty up to date. I guess it was just released last month, so it's right on top of things.
Like middle of June. And
it'll be obsolete next month, but as for right now...
Well, it'll be obsolete in about a year maybe, but a lot of this stuff could probably still be useful.
Yeah, but it's got good information, though.
Yeah, it really does.
Good.
You'll have to get a copy.
Or borrow yours.
Or get a copy.
Or borrow yours.
Or, get a copy.
Because so this book is that good, you're not going to part with it ever?
Well, I don't know about ever, but...
But not anytime soon?
I'm barely a quarter of an inch through the thing. And
you've already learned certain things that you can apply to making your own, hosting your own website, hosting Fizzle and Pop on your own.
Right. That's what I'd like to do, yeah.
Is that your ultimate goal, is to host fizzleandpop.com?
Yeah, and I'll still keep the blog as, the site's blog, because, why recreate that? I don't need to.
Yeah. But that's cool.
That is my goal.
And you also found some stuff that could be useful for this podcast here.
Possibly. You'll have to check it out.
Yeah, in the way of RSS.
Our
RSS feed, though, through feedburner.com, they do a fine job. They make it very easy to get the feed up and rolling, and for the most part, very, very much trouble-free. There are certain things that I think we could do better with the podcast as far as distribution and publicity.
Well, there was that one site that you need to check into. Yeah. It seems to have all of that stuff built into it, and a lot of people are using it. So,
Well, I will certainly check into it. Maybe we'll get more than 11 listeners per week.
Maybe, although we won't forget those that have stuck by us
all
this time.
Yes, we love those that have been with us from the beginning, and that includes
new,
That includes me and you. So.
The new listeners are silver. They're gold.
That's so. Right. Gold, Jerry, gold. And speaking of gold, you remember specifically, because this is the question I wrote for you to ask the guy when we interviewed M. Dung in December of last year.
Right.
How down he was about ever being M. Dung again. You know, he was happy being Mike Slavko. He had outgrown being Dung. He didn't want to do any of that. You suggested that, you know, he'd do it as a podcast, and no, I don't know. Well, guess what? Motherfucker's got a podcast up. It's the Sunday Night Idiot Show. Well, he used to do the Sunday Night Idiot Show. Now it's just idiotshow.net. It's a half an hour version of the Idiot Show. He just plays records, and he does his wild, crazy DJ shit that he used to do, and it brings me much joy. So, kids, go to idiotshow.net, and what you're going to get, you click through, and then you get a little clicky thing, but you're going to get this podcast that he's done. He's not quite the tech-savvy guy that I thought he was. He's got it up there as an AAPE. It's like 300 megabytes. But hopefully he'll fine-tune that and turn it into an MP3. But you can download it and listen to it, or you can listen to it streaming. But I think the way he's got it streaming, it's weird. You don't want to do the streaming thing. You just want to download the podcast and listen to it. And you get it what's that?
Download all 300
megabytes. That's right. Download all 300 megabytes. And you'll gain an appreciation as to why this guy is one of my broadcasting heroes, because he really knows how to have fun screaming into a microphone, talking over music. And it really brings me much joy to know that, you know, you and I put that bug in his ear. And whether he wants to admit it or not, he was, you know, he's either just a giant liar or he just had a huge change of heart. And I think it was really due to our interest and the resultant interest. And now, of course, he's got the gigs coming up where he's going to announce bands and spin music in between. And he's getting back into the public eye a little bit. And it makes me feel good. And
I was going to say, I think you should send him that file that you recompressed and everything so he can see how small he can make it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Still retain quality. I mean, send him that information, because if he stays at 300 megs, I don't know how successful he's going
to
be at this.
Oh yeah, no. Believe me, I'm going to offer as much information as I feel he needs. I mean, he has already agreed to be interviewed again, so maybe I'll just pass it along while he's on the phone with us.
Okay.
And say, okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
Let's get into some tech stuff that nobody wants to hear about. And yeah, you know, guess what?
I couldn't even begin.
Guess what? We are already out of time.
Ah, yes, we are.
Can you believe it? It's already been a half an hour here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. No time for the big news, Colin. No time.
Oh, well, maybe another time.
Or maybe I can squeeze it in right now. So anyway, thanks for listening, kids. And hey, as always, we love it when you listen. I've been Derek Knight of SonofCheese.com. With me, as always, Colin Burton from FizzlingPop.com.
Take care, everyone.
And we'll see you back again next Wednesday.